guys, we're still going to be in Daniel chapter 5. I had to, on the way up here, I usually try to kind of go over in my mind if there's anything between me and the Lord that might mess me up from teaching y'all. And there was. I had sinned against him this way. I had been a little controlling and manipulative with my family, resorting back to an old self. And it hurt. And I don't think I could have come taught if I hadn't got that out. It was bothering me. And just being stupid. And thought I knew better. Not trusting him. You ever did that? And I don't want anything to hinder what the Holy Spirit does here. So I've asked for forgiveness, and maybe you need to ask too for something. I'm sure I'm not the only one that screwed up this week. Let's take a little time to do that. Now, Lord, forgive us. Forgive us of our trespasses. Forgive those who trespass against us. We love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. All right. I could have impressed y'all and recited that whole thing. But forgiveness, I think, we deal with it a lot. Gosh, I cried. Just cried to drop of a hat. I'm awful about that. Friday night was wonderful. Over 200 ladies here. Four. I wrote in my blog, because I'm a very diplomatic man, four mature ladies gave their testimonies. I didn't hear it, but I heard from folks yesterday. I heard from ladies yesterday that how I touched them and how they learned from it. And I don't think it's a coincidence that the last 2 weeks we've talked about are you learning from those who came before you. Unshakable, thriving in the test of life. We started last week talking about Daniel's reputation, why they came to ask him for advice. The queen told Belshazzar, this man Daniel has a sharp mind and he's filled with knowledge and understanding. He can interpret dreams, explains the meaning of mysteries, and solve different problems. Call for Daniel and he will tell you what it means. Daniel had this reputation. You know, remember, it was the handwriting on the wall, and Belshazzar was scared to death. He soiled his pants. He was that scared. And she said, call him, he knows. So he called him, and he gets there, and the king says, I have heard that the Spirit of God is in you, that you possess brilliant knowledge and extraordinary wisdom. And what we said was, man, wouldn't it be nice if people said that about you, is that you possess brilliant knowledge and extraordinary wisdom? Man, how do we become wise like that? How can we become wise like Daniel? We said there's five reasons, and X out that number three beside mentors, models, and that shouldn't be anything. I guess I messed up. But the first thing we said was, Last week we only went over two of them, was to make a commitment to never stop learning. Well, we said learners are leaders. Leaders are always learning. And once you stop learning, you stop leading. Amen? Then we said the second thing was learn the lessons of the prior generation. That we look to those before us. I ask you to get a mentor. I told you I have two or three. I have James Collins, Fred Painter, and Rick Warren, who I listen to every week. But I meet with James Collins and, every couple of weeks, and I guess I meet with Fred almost every day. But I listen to these men who are a little older in my life, and they sort of keep me straight. Then I ask you to get a model. And remember what I said about the model? I recommend that they be dead. Because sometimes we start off good, but we don't finish well. So get you somebody, maybe somebody out of the Bible, or read a biography of somebody that finished well. And let them be your model for your life. Then I said you should have partners. These are four different types of people in your life. Partners are probably somebody you work with, either in your career, your ministry here, partners that go along beside you to support you. Then I think you need to have a group of friends. And they're separate, they're different. Friends that love you no matter what. That if you fail, you fail, but they still love you. It doesn't depend. Your successes and your hire or lack of hire don't matter. They're your friends. Now, those are the first two. We're going to do quickly the last three secrets of how can I become wise like Daniel. Everybody want to be wise? I guess that's the first thing. Would everybody like to be wise? Who in here would like to be stupid? Number three, maintain a humble attitude that honors God. That's how we become wise like Daniel. Is we maintain a humble attitude that honors God. You know why? Because humility and teachability go together. Yes, sir. They go together because the more humble you are, the less you're going to stumble. The Bible says this in Proverbs, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. Humility begins by simply realizing that you're not God. So I want to tell you something. If you're under stress, I want you to get a yellow legal pad. I keep these all over the house. I want you to write this 50 times. God is God and I'm not. That's what I had to do this morning. Because I was trying to manipulate some things that happened. Y'all may not think it, but manipulation is just a form of control. You know, for those of you that are manipulators out of there, don't do that. That's just been, so I'd write, God is God and I'm not. God is God and I'm not. Write that down 50 times. Because we need to realize we're not God and we need God, and that's humility. So if you don't realize that, you're not a humble person. Proverbs 15:33 says, reverence for the Lord is an education in itself. You must be humble before you can ever receive honors. So if you want to start with a lifelong goal to be wise, you got to get to know God. And the more you get to know God, the more you're going to get and need to get to know His Word. And the more you get to know His Word, you're just going to be simply a wiser person. You're going to be a wiser person. You're going to be wiser in your relationships. You're going to be wiser in your finances. You're going to be wiser in your careers. You're going to be wiser in handling conflicts. You're going to be wiser in diffusing problems. You're going to be wiser in a whole bunch of different areas of your life because you're not depending on your own intellect. You're depending on the wisdom of God. I'm talking about wisdom of the ages. But you got to maintain a humble attitude. I loved, we had the three baptisms last week. And did you know that the first mark of humility is getting baptized? That's why I made Richard my profile picture. Here he is, a mature man, and he's so humble. Just water streaming off his face, and he's so happy. But baptism is just a humble statement. It's just our statement of humility. So I want to encourage you, if you hadn't been baptized, you should do it. You should be baptized, and don't let pride keep you from doing it. You know, like you'll mess up your hair or something like that. Or you just don't want to be in a bunch of people. But baptism is a statement of humility. James 4:6 says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Why does God oppose the proud? I'm going to tell you why. Because the proud are unteachable. The proud are unteachable. You're not going to teach them anything. You know why? They know it all. They can't learn anything. But humbleness or humility is saying, I can learn from anybody. So I got to ask you, can other people teach you? But humility says you can learn something literally from anybody. Anybody. But the proud are unteachable. Number four. You want to become wise like Daniel? You got to refuse to fill your mind with garbage. You got to refuse to fill your mind with garbage. I mean, we're all worried about water pollution and air pollution, and we ought to be. We ought to take care of our planet. But it seems like lots of folks ain't worried about whatever we pollute our mind with. The concepts and all that, they're actually harmful to us. That we find them on TVs and movies and books. Look at Proverbs 15:14. A wise person is hungry for truth, while the fool feeds on trash. I mean, I'm telling you, but what it comes down to is this. It's as important what you feed your mind as it is what you feed your body. It's just as important, maybe even more. So as far as in relation to your mind, what do you need more of? To eat, to put in your mind, or even what do you need less of? What do you need less of? And I want to give you four basic, you know, kinds of content that you have the choice to fill your mind with. What kinds of food? The first thing that you can choose to fill your mind with is poison. You can fill it full of poisonous food, and I'm talking about stuff that'll kill you, because there's some concepts out there that could actually derange you. There's some thought processes out there that can actually degrade you and demoralize you and can defeat you. I mean, there's some self-defeating thoughts that people want to give you that you tell yourself and that other people will tell you. And that stuff is poison. And I'm going to tell you what else is poison. Just to throw this in there, pornography is poison. Pornography is poison, and you shouldn't fill your mind with that kind of stuff. Amen? Don't fill your mind with that kind of stuff. If you have the urgency to look at pornography, stop by. I'll give you an 8x10 glossy of me that you pull out and say, okay, I'm out of the mood now. Amen? I'm just saying. Don't fill your mind with that stuff. I'll put you out of the mood. The second thing is that we fill our mind with, sometimes I call it junk food. This happened to me yesterday. But a lot of stuff on TV is just like mental Twinkies or mental Snickers. It has just no nutritional value at all. It's just there. And you can eat it. You really can. I mean, but you ain't going to be very wise. Then I want to talk about brain. The third thing is we can put brain food. And brain food is good stuff. It teaches us stuff about life, science, history, math, English. And we need to fill our minds with that stuff because it educates us. It makes us more stronger. A more rounded person. Then the fourth thing I call superfood. We could put superfood in our mind. And that's what this is. This is superfood. The Bible is superfood. It can teach you stuff that you can't get anywhere else. And how to relate to life. how to relate to each other. It answers the fundamental questions of who am I? Where did I come from? Why am I here? What is my purpose in life? Those are the fundamental questions. You know, does life matter? Is there a purpose? These are the questions that we need answered. And this is where we can get. They're in this book, but you got to open it. You can't leave it in your car from Sunday to Sunday. You got to open it, you got to read it, and you got to kind of think about it. You know, some people tell me this, Jim, I don't have much appetite for reading the Bible. I don't know why, I just can't read the Bible. And I discovered why yesterday. It's because you're filling up on junk food. I had a funeral that I spoke at yesterday at 2. Sometimes when I speak at funerals, I'm just wow. I don't know why, I just get wow. I got home yesterday and just sat in recliner. I sat there, and I'm not even going to tell you what all I watched, but it was just stupid stuff. Junk food, mental Twinkies. But I filled my mind with all of it. I mean, it wasn't porno or nothing. Don't go tell you preach what porno. I'm going to have to tell you what I watch now. Storage Wars and stuff like that. Then I watched that. I don't want to tell you I watched, but I watched UFC. I love it. But you know what? It was a Twinkie. After it was over, I said, I should be reading my Bible. But you know what? I didn't want to. I just didn't have the appetite for it. You know why? I was just full on junk food. I'd fill my mind with this crazy stuff. You know, in itself, you know, one show might not have been bad, but hours of it was bad. And I just filled my mind up, and I didn't have an appetite for the truth. And I didn't want any meat because I just filled up. And some of us are filling up on TV, mental Twinkies like Facebook. You and me, we need to get less Facebook and more face in the book. I mean, we really do. And this will make you wise. This will make you wise. Number 5. Put into practice what I've learned. If we want to get wise like Daniel, we got to put into practice what I've learned. This may be the most important one of all. You know, because God doesn't teach you. What I found out is God doesn't teach you the next lesson in life until you act on the stuff that you already know. That you act on the stuff that you already know. Because God ain't in the business of just simply satisfying our curiosity. He and telling us really neat things about life. No. What I found out is he tells you one thing and then he wants you to act on it. He tells you, and then he wants you to apply it to your life. Because until we act on that one step, we don't get to go to the next step. We don't get to go. And it just is on and on and on. So we have to apply the truth, and we have to act on the truth, and then internalize what we've learned. Let me put it this way. You can't really be called a firefighter until you fight a fire. Just like you can't be called an author until you write a book. And all that's saying is you're not really a believer in God until you start living what you believe. Does that make any sense? So don't say and don't claim to be a believer if you're not living what you claim to believe. Amen? It's pretty simple. You have to act on it. You have to apply it. Here's what I want. You can write this down, put it wherever you want to. I haven't learned it until I do it. You get that? Angie says, I got to stop making, she says they're feminine when I make my hand gestures sometimes. But I haven't learned. She just makes fun, trying to aggravate me. But are they feminine? Yeah. They won't be filming if I was to show you these guns I got on this blue shirt. But I'm just joking. I'm trying to cut it up here. But I haven't learned it until I do it. So I'd like to ask you, if I were to ask you this question, do you believe the Bible? Do you believe the Bible? Yeah. Well, do you do it? If you don't do it, then you don't really believe it. You only believe the things in life that you actually do. The Bible says, forgive your enemies. And we believe that, don't we? Have you forgiven your ex? Have you forgiven an enemy? Well, then you really don't believe if you have. You just don't believe. I only believe what I actually do. And I haven't really learned it until I actually do it. You don't do it. Belshazzar lost everything. He lost everything because he failed to do this last part. He failed to put it into practice of what he had seen and what he had learned. He pridefully failed to apply it. He knew the lessons. He listened to the prior generation. He saw his father Nebuchadnezzar lose his mind and lose his kingdom. But what's wild is he saw the good and the bad. He saw him get it back through humility. He saw the good and the bad. But Belshazzar chose to ignore God. He chose to ignore the lessons. He chose to be prideful and throw a party. For those of you that weren't here last week, that's in the beginning of chapter 5. God's like, you know, I'm sitting there thinking, I wonder what he's thinking. He said, God, I'm thinking God was saying, you know, I might understand if you didn't know this. But you know this. And you saw it happen with your dad. And now this hand on the wall, and Daniel's telling you that your kingdom's going to be taken away, that it's going to be divided. And Daniel is the only one in the kingdom who had the courage to point it out. Daniel 5, and let me say this, he pointed out and still got promoted. On the backside, Daniel 5:22, Daniel said, King Belshazzar, even though you knew all that happened to your father, you didn't learn from his life, and you still refuse to humble yourself before God who rules from heaven. I want you to notice something here. You knew, but you didn't learn. You knew and you didn't learn. Is there a difference between knowing and learning? There's a lot of difference between knowing and learning. You can know a lot of things, but you hadn't learned it until you put it into practice. You know, you can go to every marriage seminar they are every weekend, but if you come home and you put the materials on the shelf and you don't practice, you ain't learned a thing. You know all the stuff, but you ain't learned a thing. Say, I'm going to lose some weight. I'm going to try to be careful around this. This sucks. I try to lose some weight, I get me a book. Find out what the right thing is to eat. I'm even underlining it. What I'm supposed to eat the whole time, holding a bag of tater chips. I tell you, let me be careful here. More folks that are trying to lose weight, I see they know the best things to eat. You want to know how to lose weight, just go ask a person that struggles with their weight or overweight, however you want to say that. They know. But they're eating Snickers. They know. But they're not applying it. They're not acting upon it. I'm trying to lose a little weight. I'll even read a book sometime about losing weight. The Daniel plan and all that. I even feel healthy while I'm reading it. I feel the blood trying to make its way through them arteries. But I ain't. Not until I start applying the truth. I hadn't learned it until I do it. Amen? I might know it. Because I know certain foods are bad for me. For instance, I know my gout is going to act up if I eat chicken liver. I love chicken liver. It just happens to be my favorite food. And once I start on them, I eat a wheelbarrow load of them. Knowing I'm on a herd in the morning. For 2 weeks, I pay for chicken livers. I can't walk, crawl to the bathroom, but I eat chicken livers. I know I'm one of very few that eat chicken livers, but I love chicken liver. Put some gravy on them. Make a chicken liver and an onion sandwich. But I know I'm going to die the next day. I mean, I'm just stove up from gout. And every joint in me hurts. But we do it anyway. Just like my struggle this week with control. I know about God, but I didn't trust Him. Know about Him, but I didn't trust Him. And that's the difference. The Bible says that wisdom comes not from knowing. Wisdom comes from doing. Wisdom don't come from knowing, it comes from doing. Let's look at the big lesson this week as we kind of wind down here. If I don't humbly learn from generations before me, I will end up making the same mistake. I will end up making the same mistakes. We can get a whole lot of head knowledge, but not heart knowledge. We can do that. Some folks just going to miss heaven by 18 inches from here to here. Because we know Him, but we haven't put it into practice. We haven't learned. You know, I read a lot, and I try to study a lot to get ready for each Sunday, and I've forgotten a whole lot about some things. People come up to me a lot because it touched them, and they, it happened twice this week. He said, "Man, you remember what you said back in 2004? When, sure don't. And I've forgotten a lot of things that I've taught you. But some things I do remember is this. You were made by God, and you were made for God. That I remember. You were made by God, and you were made for God. And until you and me understand that, life ain't going to make sense. It's just not going to make sense. I know you were not made for you. I know I wasn't made for me. You and me, we were made by God, and we were made for God. 1 Timothy 6:21 says, some people have missed the most important thing in life. They don't know God. You may know quantum physics, but if you don't know God, you've missed the most important purpose of your life. At the end of everyone's lives, every one of us, we're going to still have a final test. You know that? But there's good news. It's an open book test. And you've had this all your life. All the answers are here. So you've had your entire life to prepare for this test. And on this test, God ain't going to ask to see your report cards that you did so good on. He's not going to ask you about your career. He's not going to ask you about your trophies. He ain't going to ask you about your account balance. He's going to say, did you get to know me? He's going to say, Jim, were we friends? Did you know my son? You know Jesus, the one I sent to earth? Did you know him? Then he's going to say, okay, you knew about it, but did you learn it? Did you apply it to your life? Maybe you had the religion, but you didn't have the relationship. The religion's what you know about it. But did you have the relationships? Did you really have God in your life? Really? What that means is this. The relationship is this. Has he made any changes in your life? Has he transformed your life? I've learned something else as we close. Almost 19 years I've been your pastor. And I've enjoyed almost every minute of it. But here's what I've learned. I've learned that God is really, really big. I'm talking big. He is huge. And here's what I know. If somebody really, really, really big comes into your life, you can't stay the same. Stuff changes. Somebody really, really big comes into your life, your life is transformed. See, you can't meet Jesus Christ and stay the same. He changes you. Now, pride is going to keep you from change. So this change, when you meet him, begins with humility. Somebody really, really, really big comes into your life, things change. If there's no evidence of change, then you probably just have religion. And you hadn't applied it to your life. And you haven't began that relationship that I'm talking about. Amen? Really, really, really big. Really big. So are you still living that same life? Or are you changed? Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Or do you just know the rules and you really haven't applied them? It begins with humility. So I'm going to ask you today. The altar is going to be open. Y'all go ahead and go up there and start playing. So what are y'all going to play? Change. If you would like to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and watch your life change today, it starts with choosing humility. It starts with a humbleness before God. So I ask you to come.